Thing is, yeah, he's charging me nothing anyway because they're so cheap. I'm like, no, you
Did you
don't need
pay
to
him or
do that.
not?
We're good. No, but I left him a 5-star review on Google straight away.
Fantasy football show.
Hello, patrons. Happy Thursday. This pod is just a random pod. How are we, James?
Nose is like a tap, but otherwise, yeah, pretty good. What
Oh,
about
mate,
you?
get that sinus tab in you. Pseudoephedrine is the drug name. I know it because it's my drug of choice when I have a runny nose.
Signy tab sounds like someone Chelsea have bid for, surely.
Probably. Well, who haven't they bid for, mate? Who haven't they bid for?
Yeah, but
I'm
you're
recording my
overage.
pod today, and I reckon people are probably already sick of the sound of my voice. So, twice in one day, what is going on? Two shows.
This is Suji's road trip to Portugal, mate. So,
This is road trip to Portugal. I've got Aaron with me. Aaron's my youngest.
Yep.
Yep. How old are you?
I'm 10.
Nice. Just so people know. My other son was 12. Reese was 12 on Tuesday. Had a lovely day in Sevilla. Yeah, which was so good. Oh, mate. Random story. We were walking back to our hotel in Sevilla on Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was. And there's a theme park right near where the hotel was, Illa Maggiore. You've never been to Sevilla, have you? Spurs never played there. Or have
We
you?
have, but I didn't go.
You didn't go. So where the stadium is, actually not far. There's a theme park, and it's holiday season there, so there's a lot of people. And there was a guy in a West Ham shirt, training top. He was just walking with his girlfriend, hand in hand. I'd say like 20, 21. And we were just ahead. I looked around, I saw the shirt, and I just gave him the hammers. I was like, "What?" And he just looked at me like, "What?" And I was like, "West Ham." I was like, "We're West Ham." And he goes, "Yeah." I go to speak English. He goes, "No, Espanol." I was like, "All right, you probably just thought like he didn't have a clue why I was talking to him or why I was giving him the hammers."
Very
So I was very
intimidating.
slow. I wasn't intimidating. I was smiling.
Random stranger comes up to you in the street
Yeah,
and says,
but
"Oi, oi."
wait, but. If you're a Spaniard wearing a West Ham shirt, surely you're asking for some sort of attention for someone to turn around and be like, "But why the Brits abroad wear football shirts, which they do more than anyone else?" I say that Spain, 80% of people only got one shirt on, and it's Real Madrid. Like, it's incredible how dominant the Real Madrid shirt is in Spain. But you want other Liverpool fans or other United fans to come and talk to you. That's why you're wearing your shirt with your badge. It's
Is
a
it?
come and talk to me, 100%. That's
That
why
is not
people.
why I wear my Tottenham clothing, mate. It's not
Yeah, but
for other
you only
people to
wear
come and
it.
talk to me.
You're exceptional. You wear it when you're going to a game or when you're involved. You don't wear it just like every day, just because you can,
I
surely.
do. I rock up to the office all the time in my Tottenham clubber, mate.
Yeah, but you also your Tottenham clubber is different. Is the most discreet. I think you have the most discreet collection of Tottenham gear compared to what some people have. It's
Fair.
like a nice polo with a little, or you've got your zip up with a little cock on it, the cockerel, not, a naughty fire. And that's discreet clothing. Like somebody who didn't know anything about football wouldn't know whether that was Tottenham or not. Whereas a shirt is Larry. But anyway, yeah, we saw a hammer, didn't we, in Seville a couple of days ago, and I scared him. But anyway, I just said to him, "Pablo Fornals, eat sangria, drink sangria, eat paella." And then that was it. We let him go on his merry way.
Did he respond to you in
Espanol.
any way?
Yeah, he just smiled and it was like, cool.
I'm
And then,
just imagining how this story went for him.
it's
Hey,
like,
Chico, I saw this guy and he started giving me handcuff signs and
it's the hammers. The hammers. Oh, yeah. And he was with his girlfriend as well, so probably even
how do
worse.
you know it wasn't his sister?
They were holding hands, so.
So.
Oh, true, true.
Well, I ever hold hands with Reese.
Yeah, you do.
Like
Exactly.
once every week
Once a week.
for 5 minutes.
Okay, that's good to know. Cool. What are we talking about, mate?
Well,
You
it's
just want to
you,
talk about
isn't
this.
it? First of all, I suppose it's like your happiness and stuff, and also like, tell us about the journey. Where does this start? I suppose even
What
going back
happens? Let's
to
talk about something. Let's start
packing
with
and.
it's a weird the feeling is very weird right now. I'll tell you. They asked me how I was in this. I jumped in the sales scrum meeting this morning. First time I've been in it for like 2 weeks. Joel, Joel was like, "How's it feel?" I was like, "Do you know what? There's this really weird feeling of guilt or privilege or like the fact that I'm doing this and then the people that are close around me and whatever are not sharing in it. Like getting to wake up this morning, I walked down to the beach at 7 o'clock with my coffee, just stared at the sea for a little while, walked back. The weather's beautiful outside. Yeah, I mean, we've ate some amazing food. We've been on a great journey. It's all been like ridiculously fun. Not bougie, cheap and cheerful. Not cheap and cheerful, but middle of the road. But I don't think anything's expensive.
Can I just clarify for the patrons? Can I just clarify for the patrons listening that the funding that you very kindly give us is not to fund Suji's walk down the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
It's to feed my child. If anyone had any doubts about that.
If anyone wants to see Planet FPL's accounts, welcome, mate. but yeah, honestly, it almost feels guilty because it's not like I need other people to be able to do this. Like I need you. I need people at the office to do what they're doing. I need my family around to do what they've done. It's like, it's a culmination of a lifetime of decisions that's ended here, that I'm in this situation where I am and everything about where I am. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm so happy, right? Beach is there. Kids are about to get a ridiculously good opportunity. Weather's good. The food we've had, like you can say, right? Wild. We've had some amazing stuff. It's a culmination of everything, but there's nothing that I could do without everybody else who's been there along my whole life journey. But I'm the one that's milking all the benefits of it right now. So there's this weird feeling of like, it's not just the culmination of my work that's led to me in this situation. So I know it's just a weird feeling of like privilege and guilt, because I know I'm in the top whatever 0.1% of people that have the opportunity to do something like this. And I almost feel like a lot of my friends from my jiu-jitsu club or whatever that I'm chatting to along the way, and don't get me wrong, everybody is super happy and supportive, and no one's like, oh, like screw you bastard, the guy that gets to do this and we have to slum it. No one's been like negative in that way whatsoever, but it's just a personal thing where I feel a little bit like, pinch me, this is a little bit too good to be true, deserving, whatever you want to think about it. It is a bit weird, but to finally arrive yesterday, it did feel like the culmination of 43 years to get to a point to start my second life now. Doesn't mean everything from the first life is forgotten, but it's like a start a second life. It's like a level up. You've completed level one. Now I get to play level two, but actually probably gone to level 200 because of what we have here. So it's a very humbling kind of feeling. My camera roll, James, like I've restricted how much I'm posting and sharing because I feel like a smug bastard with all the lovely photos and memories that are there. They're personal for me, but yeah.
I've got something I'd like to say.
Go on.
Screw you, bastard guy.
Well, at least someone's upset, then we can do it. Listen.
No, mate.
We're recording Planet FPL out here on the beach, mate.
It almost feels like this is not part of a podcast recording, but you certainly shouldn't feel guilty, mate. Justified, rewarded.
And there's that as well. What's the meaning of life, right? And that kind of thing. And it's been really interesting because the kids have experienced a real lots of different cultures and the journey and why are we doing what we're doing. And we have good conversations about the opportunities that are there and what have you. What is life is just a series of decisions and choices, right? Every day you wake up and all you do every day is you make choices. Am I going to put this on or that one? Am I going to eat this? Am I going to that? Am I going to work hard? Am I not? It's just choices. And the choices you make culminate over years and years and years to the outcomes that you have. And obviously the choices that some people have and the choices that other people have are different. And the more privileged you are, the better the choices are, the easier the choices are. But this feels like, I mean, I know when I look back at when I was 25 and started the company and I was paying myself 12 grand a year and just minimum wage and just slumming it, that was it. But I used to hustle hard, as hard as I do now. It made no difference to me, but I made choices in my 20s and then late 20s and then 30s and then 35. There's I could pinpoint 100 choices that I made over life that have then culminated in this point. So it's not like any one thing has made me able to do this. It's a continuous consecutive selection of decisions and choices. And that's all it is. And that's all life is, right? I say to the kids, all I can teach you how to do is to make good decisions and good choices. If we could do that, logical ones, right? Then you'll be fine in life. Like, I can't make your decisions and choices for you. Do you want to have ice cream? Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, you figure it out. Do you deserve to eat ice cream? Have you had too much other sugar? Like, have you had your food? Like, do you need to do your homework? Do we want to go out and train? I can't make these. All I can do is, like, you figure out how to make good decisions. And if you can do that and you do that consistently and consecutively, you will end up in a great spot. Here's an analogy with football, right? The clubs that make consistently good consecutive decisions end up with longevity of success. It's where you get flash in the pan, two seasons of good decisions, and then you do like loads of dumb stuff, like spend £90 million on a player or multiple players that flop. And then you make a couple of good decisions, but then you make two bad ones. It's the consistency of good consecutive decisions is what life is. And that's what you've got to get good at, making good decisions.
The Everton fans were like, it's taking you 10 minutes to mention us. Thanks. Cheers, Sush.
Well, yeah, they've had some bad decisions along the way. But you think you're making, how do you know sometimes, right, whether you're making good ones or not? But that's the way I see it. And so, yeah, to do the journey, when we started out, 10 days ago, after the day after the barbecue at work, where everybody had my face on a mask, they're probably still lying around the office.
They are.
It was the most nervous 10 days of my life in terms of a drive, just because I was like, okay, what if I crash the car? What if a car breaks down? What if something happens? It's like the culmination of 6 months' work to fall at the final hurdle. Like, it's like Colin Jackson when he's running a race, right? And he's done the 110-meter hurdles to fall at the, like, I was like, just get me here. So when we got here yesterday, it was also a sense of like relief. At least I've had, if this was the rest of my life was Portugal, at least I've had one day of it now. And then it's at least I've had 2 days of it now. And then at least I had a week of it now. And we build and we build and we build. But I still live in fear that this is going to be gone. But that's a glass half empty.
But why would it?
Yeah, a glass half empty mentality of scarcity when young or whatever, I would say. But yeah, it is honestly like humbling. And I'm just, yeah, super grateful for what we have at the moment, making the most of everything.
Good. Yeah. I think on behalf of all the patrons, mate, congratulations.
Cheers, man. It's a nice feeling to be here. It is a nice feeling to be here. So, yeah, it was 1,629 miles in total was on the clock when I parked the car downstairs. Now that was a metric, right? 2,622 kilometers. So fair old way. Fair old way.
Before we got to one of the stopovers or gas or something, and the clock had hit 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, yeah. We had one point where we stopped the car. I've got a few things in the speedo. We stopped one day and I was like, oh, how cute. It's got to 1, 2, 3, 4 on the old clock. Yeah, it was convenient. That was when we got to Bilbao.
So where did you stop?
So we started out London. We did the Dover to Calais ferry and went down into Paris. That was on a Saturday. If anyone ever wants to do this road trip, highly recommend it. That was, yeah, we got to Paris by evening, slept in Paris. We had a day in Paris, went up the Eiffel Tower. How many steps?
Like
659 steps we climbed to the highest point you can climb, and then got the lift up the Eiffel Tower, did a bit of the Louvre, just kind of did basically Paris was a tick box exercise, right? So the kids can say, oh, we went and saw it. I did like Paris because it was a nice sunny day. It's one of those cities where, and I think London's similar, when it's sunny, it's wicked. And when it's wet and miserable, it's probably just another noisy.
Is it? This city's terrible when it's too hot, mate.
Well, it was the right temperature. It was all right. It was warm, don't get me wrong. But we tick boxed Paris. So we stopped in Paris for one night. And then we went to Disneyland Paris for 2 days.
Yeah.
I thought, let me take the kids while it's off at school, because I ripped them out of school 2 weeks early, right? While it's a bit cheaper. Cheaper in air quotes, yeah. So we did a couple of days in Disneyland Paris. That was fun, wasn't it?
We went on roller coaster that had 3 inversions 5 times.
Yeah. The kids, we're not big on Disney, right? To go, like, in terms of when you go to Disney, I'm blown away with, like, I'd say 30-40% of people are like in all Disney gear. So loads of girls, young girls that are all dressed as princesses or wearing all the gear, all the t-shirts. You've got like families going on family holidays that have all got like like the Linden's Disney Family Holiday 2024 t-shirts where everybody's wearing the same thing. Or
my
Mickey
dad
Mouse.
Would so be that dickhead.
Would he?
Yeah.
But I was looking at like, I was like, okay, wow. You know, like they're branded, they're like really into it in a crazy sort of way. So Disney was like, it was fine. It was, the queues weren't crazy. We kind of managed that. The boys are more into the thrill rides, like roller coasters and that, than all the other stuff. So we managed to rinse around a lot of the roller coasters a lot, but there's not that many, 6, 7.
Yeah, I've been.
So we did the Avengers one 5 times, right? And that had the 5-minute queue. So we would just do the ride, go back round, do the ride, go back round, do the ride. But that was fun. It was right on at Disney. Like, I don't regret going. And it was fun to see, but I wasn't like branded Disney that I wanted to like go all in on it.
There's one thing that was bad at Disney. It was the fact that every time there was a photo on the roller coaster, my eyes were closed.
Oh yeah.
Somehow my eyes were always closed on a photo.
That's but a skill that.
I was never going to buy those photos anyway. Like 10 euros a photo.
Yeah, you did your dad a favour because cheap ass don't spend no money anyway.
Save money, man, by keeping your eyes closed. Yeah, but it was nice just to hang out with the boys and that. And also, like, we've been to roller coasters, but not many. And I think fear is an interesting concept. We were talking about this at roller coasters because they say there's only two rational fears, right? Death and falling. Every other fear is irrational in the sense that you train your mind to be scared of, whether it's heights, spiders, whatever. And the boys would just jumped on everything. So for me, it was like, cool, okay, they've got the yes, I'll do it attitude as opposed to no, I'm scared of. Mum wasn't the same, was she?
Nope.
Yeah, we won't talk about that though. So she was, bag carrier.
You kind of just lied to everyone because you said there's only two rational fears. There's three. The Russian spy hiding in your toilet.
Is that a rational fear?
Yes.
Apparently so, James. Russian spy hiding in your toilet, apparently.
Is a rational fear?
Apparently so. The memes that these kids find on YouTube, mate. All right,
cool.
All right. So then, a couple of days smashed that at Disney. So we're still in Paris, obviously. We then did a 6-hour drive to Bordeaux. The
bit wine tasting.
No, although we did a bit of cheese tasting. This guy here, Aaron, says he's a cheese monster. So it was literally a one-night stopover to break up the journey down to Spain, and Bordeaux was conveniently spotted. But nice place, man. We went down to the old town. We had a really nice meal there at this cheese restaurant, and all the food was like cheese specific. It was nice. Bordeaux and Bilbao were two cities where I couldn't figure out whether they were good or bad, like in the sense of they were nice and had really nice old parts and a bit of character, but also quite a lot of rundown, like graffiti and that kind of thing going on, where you're like, actually, I don't know if I feel safe. But also, if I look to my left, I don't feel quite safe. But if I look to my right, it's really cultural and nice. They were both a little bit.
Milan's quite interesting. Like you could be in the centre of Milan, you'd be like, look at these shops and stuff, it's amazing. And then you turn the corner and everything's graffitied up and literally from one road to the next.
Yeah, it did feel a little bit like that. But Bordeaux was like, it literally was a stopover. It was a nice hotel we got to stay in. It's left there. So Bordeaux we left and then went down to Bilbao via San Sebastian, which is about an hour away from Bilbao. San Sebastian's like food-centric space, really nice. But we didn't get to make the most of San Sebastian just because it was a stopover. We just had lunch there. But Bilbao, we had 2 nights in Bilbao as a more long-term stopover. Obviously, you're interested, right? Europa League finals
in Bilbao, yeah.
Bilbao I liked. Really nice. Really nice.
I actually dreamt I was at it last night, and it was 1-1 with 20 minutes to go.
Fair play.
Don't know what
like
happened
I
after
said
that.
To you, if you make it, I've got your hotel covered and sorted on Planet FPL. But right. If you make it, it's only like 2% chance.
I'm sure we won't.
I would say, do you know what? French motorways, so driving the whole length of France, I paid about 100, 120 euros in tolls.
Okay. I don't really have a a conception of if that's UK good or bad. No, it sounds bad.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. 120 odd euro. Like UK, nothing, right? There's the Dartford Tunnel and a couple of quids here and there, or M6 toll. There's not a lot of tolls, but France was all tolls. But the motorways were really good. Like the roads were really good. I paid 120, 130 euros. The roads were really good. As soon as we got into Spain, the first part had some tolls and then they stopped. Roads were rubbish. Rubbish.
What are you talking about? Just quality of the road?
Yeah, like potholes and all that kind of stuff. It just was not in good condition. So I did feel when I was going through France, I was like, every hour I'm stopping and paying 10 euros or 15 euros for like tolls for what? But the roads were good. Whereas when you get to Spain, they don't. I just think, keep an eye on it. I think UK or wherever will follow. It'll be a case if you want to use the roads, use them. If you don't, you don't.
Spain roads are a substitution for a roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly that. That's what the kids were saying. There's a free roller coaster on the Spanish roads, mate. Yeah.
I've been in the car with your dad as well. That's true.
The Porsche with a bad suspension, mate. It was Spain was not good. But I do think it's something to keep an eye on for the UK roads. The motorways, all the way, were so, like, just not congested. Like, rarely, like, was it... I didn't only hit traffic once, and that's on 1,600 miles, Jay. Once.
But the size of the country, like, France is massive,
yeah,
right?
Way bigger. And Spain's way bigger, don't get me wrong. There's just no cars, though. I only hit traffic once, and that was in Paris, which I was quite surprised by. Whereas you may go anywhere on the motorway here, you're going to be in...
You can, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Bordeaux done. Bilbao, mate, the food and stuff there, lovely. City was great. We had a really nice Indian there, didn't we? Yeah. Decided to embrace the culture, local Spanish culture, and go for an Indian. Well, it had 4.8 stars on Google reviews. Looked good, right? A massive plate of big prawns for like 10 quid and stuff. Enjoyed Bilbao, had a walk around the city there.
He's had 8 of those prawns, didn't he?
He ate most of them, yeah. But he's a prawn guy, isn't he? From there, we drove to Caceres, which was a stopover similar to Bordeaux. Highlight of Caceres is that it's where some of Game of Thrones was filmed. So saw a few bits and pieces there.
Any dragons?
No dragons.
Shame.
No dragons. Any Game of Thrones fans listening, amongst patrons, it's where Euron and Greyjoy met Yara Greyjoy or something like that. There's a couple of scenes like that where they met, was shot there. But yeah, stopped over there. Like, that's rural Spain where they don't speak a lot of English or anything like that. But this is where I started getting blown away by the cost of things. Honestly, what we pay for food in England, we'll talk about that in a minute, is a joke compared to what, don't get me wrong, average salaries are lower and all that kind of thing, but still, like, yeah, ridiculous in terms of the cost of food is so cheap over there.
That don't surprise me if, like, say, the wife's been watching, like, you get these programs like on Search for Home Abroad and stuff like that, and they tell you, like, the cost of this apartment and stuff, and you'd be like, it's like a 4-bed apartment. You'd be like, what? Wouldn't get a shed for that in London.
My mate sent me, my mate wants to move to South Africa, and he sent me a house there, which is like 4 or 5-bedroom house with like a squash court and swimming pool and 3 lounges, whatever. It's like 325 grand. And you're like, what? But obviously relative to the cost of everything. But I mean, we went for breakfast on a couple of days ago, and that was 2 big acai bowls, yogurt bowl, two bagels, 2 coffees, couple of juices and a smoothie. And you're like 30 quid. 32 quid. You're just like, just what?
I can't open Uber Eats and spend less than that.
That exactly. That is ridiculous, mate. How crazy. And that, we got to the point where we're like, actually, we need to order less food even because we're ordering stuff. Sometimes you order off cost, right? When you're in a place you don't know, you're like, all right, well, a typical meal for 4 is 40, 50, 60 quid. That's what we need. You don't. how much food, like, it feels bad to waste food, but how many times, and you're like, okay, well, I feel bad wasting it, but it's only cost me 3 quid or something stupid like that. From Caceres, we drove to Seville. We had 3 days in Seville.
Got stung in Seville, right?
I got stung by a bee or something in Seville. That was all right, though. It wasn't the worst. Why are you focusing on my bad experiences, son?
Because they're the funniest.
Okay. Told. That's the one city, James, where I'm like, did I make the right choice of moving to Portugal? Because this city is something else.
Go on.
It's just the vibe, the energy, the restaurants, the just the architecture, the shop.
Oh, you mean you wish you'd gone there? Is that what you're saying? Or
yeah, I don't think I do. But honestly, it's the only place that I've felt close to actually, you know what? This place is amazing. I love it there. I don't know. It's your second trip, right? We've been twice in a year now. We went there last year when we first scoped out Portugal because it's a 2-hour drive from where I am. So, yeah. What did you think about Seville?
Yeah, chill.
Chill. Loch Apollo ice lollies. What did you eat there that was for the first time that was banging? Paella. Paella, rate out of 10?
9. 9,
there you go. Tapas was pretty decent. Churros we didn't have this time was amazing. The breakfast, he's got a new favourite breakfast now, ham, cheese on toast with tomato spread, banging. Smoothies, like, yeah, chill. I don't know. There's something about that city, James. There's just something about it. I basically made it because it's 2 hours away. I'm like, okay, every month now, like, I have a budget of how much we have to spend on food and drink and life and whatever. Whatever's left, we're going to go once a month to Seville for one day. And whatever's left, we're just going to eat and then come back.
It's a long way for dinner, mate.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I'm talking about, bro.
Oh, okay, fine.
A day. I'm talking about drive in the morning, eat all day, and then come back. Just hang there. I've been 3 times now, and I don't think I ever get bored. It's like, you know, you go to the same place again and again, you're like, ah, done it now. Just something about it. I don't know, there's definitely listeners, patrons that will have been there or what have you. Of all the Spanish cities I've now been to, Madrid, Barca, Bilbao, and all the other little ones. Seville, just, yeah, something about it that I just resonate. One of my top 2-3 favourite places in the world. We had a great time out there. It was lovely.
Can we tell these patrons what Loch Apollo is?
Loch Apollo. You can tell them about Loch Apollo if you want to, buddy.
So basically, they have like 30 to 20 different lolly flavours.
Ice cream, ice lollies. Ice cream, ice lollies sort of things. Yeah. You've got pina colada, mango and passion fruit, coconut, dulce de leche, Kinder Bueno, like just loads of them.
Then you can dip them in chocolate. You've got white chocolate, milk chocolate and dark chocolate. You can dip it half or full.
So they get the ice lolly, dip it in, like you can say half or full, done, and then?
You can roll it in some toppings, coconut flakes, Rice Krispies, anything.
Corn flakes, chocolate flakes, whatever, and then you munch the bugger. For like £2.50. Yeah, boy. They're just so good. Loch Apollo. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I think the patrons are beginning to think you're a bastard now.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Like just looking through my camera roll, some of the stuff that we had. And so, yeah, we did that, which was lovely. So 3 days in Seville. It was obviously Reese's birthday, turned 12. We extended, like we had our flat here from the 1st of July, which was Monday, but we decided to come Wednesday so that he could have his birthday in Seville because I knew we'd get a decent night out, a day out.
I've got a letter here for Reese.
Oh, nice.
We'll see it.
Yeah.
It's from Boots.
Oh, nice. There we go. He needs his eyes tested, mate. Boots opticians, let's be clear. So, yeah, we did that. And then finally, on Wednesday, we drove across. So, in the end, it ended up being 10 days. And we arrived in Lagos yesterday, just unpacked about 10 lots of laundry to do and stocked up the fridge with a bit of food. Started work today, back on it. I haven't been down to my office yet because I had back-to-back calls. I haven't had time to go down, but I'm going to go after this down to my office. At 5:30, I'm meeting a certain stinking Aston Villa fan called Lee Jackson for a pint because he's down in Lagos.
Is he?
Would you believe it? Lee and Hen, Mrs. Jackson, they're down there.
Oh, nice. I didn't know
we
that.
We chatted about it when he came down to the pub at my leaving drinks. He said he was there at the same time. He's leaving, I think, tomorrow. So we had this one-day crossover. And so we'll just 5:30, quarter to six. Oh,
Mrs. Jackson's going to be delighted, isn't she? Final night on holiday with Lee, and she's stuck with you. Yeah.
They were telling me about this restaurant that's here in Lagos that does lunch, €25 a head, bottomless wine, she's going to be pissed. So I was leaving. I'll see him later, mate.
I mean, just yeah, full stop. If I was her and I'd live with Lee, I'd be pissed all the time. And all right, pal, I hope you will.
Yeah, listen, look, Lee always makes such an effort to come down to London when he can for our gigs and do's. And obviously he came down for Leaving Drinks that day as well. So I'm looking forward to just buying him a pint, to be honest with you. Him and Hen. I think they got their dads with them. So there's four of them. But nice. I'll buy four pints because they're about €2 a pop, mate. seeing them later down in Lagos, and now we're kind of settled. So now it's like business as usual, back to normal, regular life. But yeah, driven down through it. The journey was good. The car didn't give me any grief. Kids, like, honestly, I was telling them a couple of days ago, I couldn't be more proud of how they managed it. It wasn't easy, like, because we loaded the car up with as much stuff as we could. So it wasn't the most comfortable, like, bags and stuff falling over them a little bit. But they're just embracing everything, you know, asking good questions, embracing culture, trying things, speaking in different languages, all that kind of jazz. I couldn't have asked for anything more, if I'm honest with you. It's just been blessed. And in the meantime, we've obviously had the football going on in the background with Euro. So watching some of the games with some of the locals. And then the boys have been getting into the Euros and stuff. We had a break, obviously, now for a couple of days, seeing England implosion, but seeing it from a distance rather than being actually in the country. The election stuff that's been going on, which is just a madness in itself today. The US election presidential debate last week, which was just a comedy to get involved. There's so much stuff been going on while we've been traveling down. But it's all been like background stuff for me while I've had the main focus. But yeah, it's been a funny old trip. A good trip. But
do you feel a bit of a come down now you're working again?
No.
What I mean is because it's not like you taking a holiday and you come back to work. You've gone away. You're somewhere else now. You're working. That environment does it just feel different for you?
Yeah, honestly, because even in the month and a half lead up, you can just hold it in your hand if it's not comfy. In the month and a half lead up, like, there was so much other admin to sort out and do as well that I would have been at 60-70% efficiency anyway. I've been out of working properly for quite a long time, and then there was a lot of downtime during this 10 days. But you know, the environment, the sunshine. I'm drinking a lot of water. You're really good with water. I've noticed, like, you have your mug of water regularly. I'm not the greatest with water, but I'm drinking a lot more just because it's hot. But it increases your energy levels. You just feel good when you're fully hydrated. We've been eating well, despite eating out because we've had to, because we've not had anywhere to cook over this time period. I don't feel like we've eaten crap at all, really, apart from the one McRib. That was the only time we went to McDonald's the whole trip. And the only reason was because I hadn't seen a McRib in so long. I was trying to explain to the kids, this is a McRib. I haven't seen this in 15 years. So we had it. It was not shit. That great. It was, my memory was way better than the reality. But that was it. Apart from that, it's all been like, I mean, it's Mediterranean food and lifestyle, right? They generally eat well. So I feel energy-wise, peak, I feel sunshine's giving me energy. I don't feel tired. You know, in England, I used to wake up and I need my coffee first thing. Shower, coffee. And without that, I don't function. I don't miss my coffee.
Slower pace and everything, right, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. And now it's just, yeah, I really...
It's something in the psyche about living in this city in London that makes you feel like you've got to do everything under a mile an hour, I think.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, it's a reset button on life at 43, right? All the things, so much of what you do because you do because you've always done it that way. It's autopilot. Yeah. But I need to do so many basics, right? I need to re-register with an electricity company. I need to go and find a doctor. You go to the same doctor because you're going to that doctor for 20 years. I need to find a dentist. Go to the same dentist because we're going that way. You drive the same car because you've been driving the same route. You do so many things you do in your life. You buy the same food from the same place because that's how you've always done it. We don't ever stop and question so many things, right? You support the same football club because you've always supported. Change, James. Go to Arsenal. No, I get that one. It's not going to happen.
Aaron, cover
your ears. You do so much because that's the way you've always done it. Well, because I'm in a different country, I can't do it the way I did in London. So now I have to change the way I do everything or reassess, even if I want to do it that way. So having a hard reset at 43 everything's like, I'll go through my bank statement, joint bank statement with my missus, and I'm like, all the costs that are coming out, I'm like, okay, I need to get, apart from my mortgage on my house, which I've rented out, I don't need anything else that's there anymore. Clear all of those costs out. But then I'm not going to replace them with the same costs here. I will have to do some things, don't get me wrong. But it's really interesting to just do a fresh, hard reset on life with no ties on what I do and don't need to do necessarily. Mad. I'm so highly energized. I said to everyone at work, I'm going to annoy the crap out of people for 2 days just because I'm full of beans and whatever. I need to be very conscious of that fact. It's where the humility needs to step back in a little bit. And yeah, yeah, it's a madness.
I think if it wasn't for Spaz, I'd be following you now. Because yeah. I'd feel like with what I do now that I could.
Yes. Well, what about Katie?
I'd bring Harry.
yeah.
No, but I mean, you'd have to think, you know, what she would do for work and stuff. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, I think naturally because I knew you was doing it, I thought about it more. I mean, my dad said it for his whole life. The only thing that keeps me is Spurs. And I think, oh, I wish I didn't sometimes. But yeah, I get it completely, right? I don't really have a reason to be here now.
Yeah, friends, like people said to me, you're like my inspiration now to make me want to do it. Like, not one, I'm talking tens. I could go through my phone to give you 15 to 20 people today that are like, if I had, and this is again humbling, right? I'm in a situation with my job, my career, financially, kids, whatever, that I can. And people can't because they're tied in so many ways. And I'm fully aware of that. And so it's not like, look at me and what I can do and can't do and that kind of thing. So, yeah. It really is humbling in a lot of ways, but yeah, keeping it in perspective, you know? What are you saying?
Changing the topic a bit, the people here are much more friendly.
Are they? Do you think so?
Yeah, definitely. Like, we went to that restaurant, Wine and Dine.
Oh, yesterday?
Yeah, they said that it would be 4 minutes. They were like, taking 5 minutes. They were going to come out in 1 minute. And they said, three round of drinks on the house. The one they brought.
I mean, this guy had opened a place just here. We went to eat. We were just chilling, having lunch, right? There's no rush. Food took 10 minutes longer than you might expect. So he's like, there's a round of drinks just while you wait. And then when he actually bought the food out, it was just two small lamb skewers. He's like, these took too long. You're not paying for these either. I'm just like, he's charging me nothing anyway because they're so cheap. I'm like, no, you don't need to do that. We're good. No, but I left him a 5-star review on Google straight away. Wouldn't take it. And I said, we're coming back tomorrow. Like, I was like, because it's across the road from me. I'm like, but I'm coming back regardless because of the way you treat. But he didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
And I also, it's a new place that he's open. He's trying to make it. And sure, he's trying to give good service, good reviews. It's not. Yeah. Yeah, but I get it. Yeah, people are friendly. It's humbling and yeah, I'm grateful and I'm just enjoying every second of it so far, genuinely. And don't get me wrong, I'm starting to I do miss people for sure. There's certain people from home that I spend more time with, like yourself included, that I will and do start to miss a little bit, just that interaction. But I'm going to be back now. I'm back in London next Thursday, right? While we have this work trip. Damn, on the Monday after the Euros finals, God knows if we're recording that Monday, James, because if England make it,
I discussed this with Clay. So I was like, imagine if we win it. I'm going to do the podcast Monday morning and talk about what.
I'll be here. I'll be in London.
We'll do the podcast on Patreon and then we'll do the proper review on Tuesday because I'd have to watch it back, I think.
Fine. I'm there until 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning so we can do it. But that's the kind of thing where, I'll catch up with people and I'll be back and... I feel even more motivated. Like even Planet FPL, right? My FPL love wanes and comes and goes in my football, but the podcasting, like there's things I want to talk about. And so why does Planet FPL have to be my platform just for FPL? Like even Dave Simple Goal mentioned, why don't I do a regular podcast about other stuff? I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't have to be outside the umbrella of Planet FPL. I don't see Planet FPL as just a fantasy Premier League podcast. I see it's us, it's life. talking about anything and everything that we want
to
talk
about.
It's
only you that brought it up here, mate. I haven't mentioned it for about a month, mate.
What, FPL?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
I mean, I said on my stream last week, I said to, if anyone's watching, don't even think about it till England go out.
Exactly that. But, I mean, we're playing Euros. I'm enjoying it. I think I'm 250K, which is, considering where I started, like game week one, I got 39 points, man. I've recovered quite well, slowly and steadily. Just looking for the good in everything, right? Looking for the good in everything.
But do you want me to make you feel better about that?
What, the rank?
Yeah.
Oh, you were like 70K last show you recorded with Clates or something.
6K now.
That's decent. What about, do we talk about the other games?
Oh, Telegraph, ninth at the moment.
Oh, ninth out of everyone.
Still ninth, yeah.
Come on, James, do it for the views, because that's going to get us a lot of views, Telegraph. Or maybe not.
If Germany don't score tomorrow, it's on, maybe.
Yeah, let's see. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the games tomorrow as well. I'm going to go and watch them somewhere open air out here. But obviously, Portugal versus France, 9 p.m. It's the later game, isn't it?
Have you had like a vibe since you got there? Like, oh, it's a big deal or no. Not? Or...
Nah, I haven't had a chance. Not in Portugal. In Spain, in Sevilla, it was. But the game was the 4-1 against...
Georgia.
So it was kind of a foregone... It wasn't a tense game. It was...
They knew they were going to win, yeah.
They were going to win. And didn't they just? But yeah, I haven't caught a vibe of it. But I'm going down into the old town now once we finish recording. And I'm meeting Lee at a sports bar, the one he suggested. So we'll catch a vibe for it there. But yeah, no doubt. But I will definitely go and watch it with locals in and around, because I want to catch a vibe for it. And
yeah, it'd be nice.
As much as I joke that I'm supporting Portugal, I am supporting Portugal. Would I rather England or Portugal win it? England. Don't get me wrong. But I fear for everybody in England if England do win it, because the fans are going to trash the country in one way, shape or form.
The country's trashed anyway.
Worst case, yeah, that's also true. But...
England are going to win it. They've only won one thing ever. That was in like 1960s.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome.
So, but that's the past. The past is not always the best indication of the future. The thing that's the best indication of the future is the fact that we're not playing very well.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I mean, it's moments that change tournaments, and that overhead kick was a moment that could kickstart everything. It could. I'm not saying it will. There's other really good teams, but it's that one moment and what it stood for. And when it happened, I wasn't even surprised. Like, the fact that it was Jude and the way he did it and the way he stood there, I was just like, to be honest, that's normal for you now. That's what you do, right? You win games like that. You've done it for Real Madrid so many times. You stand up to be counted. I shouldn't be surprised with what you've done there, which is stupid to normalize that kind of behavior. Like, people giving Ronaldo grief, right, a couple of days later, and or the day after, whatever it was. And then I thought, he scores a lot of goals, right? Let me Google it.
So you need to get off Twitter a bit more, mate.
I don't really.
It's not good for you.
Nah, definitely not. Unless I go full troll and just start abusing people on Twitter.
You and me, I'm both. Down with that, yeah. I'll just change my bio and pretend
my new t-shirt. You read what it says on my new t-shirt.
It says, "I choose fight." And it's got a picture of a little fat duck on it.
Yeah, I choose fight. Okay. Cristiano Ronaldo has scored the match-winning goal 272 times.
Okay.
Mad. And it's like the arrogance of him taking all the free kicks. And yes, he wasn't doing a good job of them. But it's like, okay, at what point is it arrogance? Do you think you're better than me at FPL?
Yeah.
Okay. And so someone would say, oh, that's an arrogant attitude, but it's not. Why? Because there's stats and data to back it up. Yeah. That guy has the stats and data to back up whatever arrogance he wants. And I understand context. That game, he was not doing badly. But all of the clubs that he's played for, what trophies would they have won if he hadn't been in those teams, that Man United team, that Real Madrid team, that Juve team? It wouldn't be as many if he hadn't been in the team and won it. And also the way the other Portuguese guys rallied around him a little bit when they saw he was down, wasn't like, oh, there's the ego guy in the corner. They were together with him. They didn't.
It can't be seen like that.
completely. But he saw his mum crying in the stands, is what I saw a video of, right?
Oh,
and that's
that
going
right?
to break anybody down. Yeah, she was there sitting and seeing her. He looked up at her, and then that's when he started breaking down a little bit more. There's a really good video of that somewhere. So, you know what? Like, to have a bit of humanity. The guy, like you did a very as a better job than I could ever have done of explaining. His life is not normal. He's not normal, but also everything he's achieved gives him the right to be a little bit like that.
Abnormal. And,
yeah, and the stats and the numbers and the data are a joke. The discipline and what he's done to get to where he wants to is sheer hard work. Like, I respect his work ethic more than I respect anything else. He works. And he drinks water and he looks after his body and all of that stuff. So he was not doing well. Agreed. Criticize him, great. But the pylon is like taking pleasure in someone else's pain is the definition of a word that we don't use on this show, but that's what I define it as.
But
if you take pleasure in someone else's pain. Yeah.
But to give a little counter to that, I know what you're saying. Let's go back to, not that I particularly want to go back to it, Tottenham v Man City.
Okay.
The only pleasure, I mean, I didn't have much that night because of the confliction and emotions, but what was it all about? Stopping the enemy from winning. So there is a pleasure in, I think football culture is built to have rivalries. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
I get
in
that.
In a work society, you might work for Sainsbury's and you might try and be competitive with Tesco down the road, but like you don't go down the pub and fight each other. All right. We know that does happen. That the rivalry in football is different, right?
Listen, you look at, I'm into UFC massively. Alex Pereira the other day knocked out this guy with another left hook that just is mine. It's crazy. The guy was out on his feet, but after he knocked him out with his left hook, the guy fell to the ground. He wasn't out cold, but he was gone. His next thing is to jump on top of him and pound him with his fist, right? The guy was done until the ref stops him. Like, if I knock someone out, I don't know if I have it in my heart to still pound. He's causing pain, mindless. And you're like, do you need to do that? But that's his job. And I get that. When you're in a competitive environment, you have to want to win will cause pain. But when you see someone else in pain and then you take pleasure from it, in an individual in a circumstance like that, be critical of his performance, no problem. If you don't
But if
like
Arsenal are in pain, I'm happy. That's all I'm saying. So I think there's a psyche for football fans that's different.
It's a competitiveness. The people that are piling on Ronaldo are not competing with him. They're not in a competition with him. It's more if you are in, it's like you're upset with him because you know that he scored against your team. How many times? Because he scored thousands of goals. He scored more goals from Portugal than England's record cap winners won caps, probably. What was it? Schultz, 120, 125
That's
caps?
Probably maybe? Correct that.
And he scored over 120 goals for Portugal. He scored more goals for his country than our record caps winners won caps. And that's a goalkeeper as well. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's what I'd say. But when I look at it, I'm just looking at it from a human point of view where I'm just zen. Like I've got no axe, no beef. Nothing with anyone. I'm just in a positive mind space. And that's what I want to preach. Positivity and love and peace to everybody. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Until we do jiu-jitsu and MMA.
God, you're going to start
fight.
Like...
In which case, I choose fight.
You're going to start like your own religion or something, aren't you? The cult of Suj.
Would you be part of my religion if I started
that? Depends.
Trust me, religion's a great way to make some money.
I'm in.
And on that note, is that enough of a wrap of what I've been tossing around for the last
Yeah, of course, mate. It's just I think everyone just wants to know how you are and stuff, so it's
well,
nice, mate.
I'm super well. If anyone's out here in Portugal, look, I'm pretty bad with Slack, but I'm making some resolutions to really try and engage a bit better now and jumping into Euro. And now that I'm not on the move, I'm going to make it part of my daily routine if I can. No promises, but I really want to try and do it because where the rest of the internet is the cesspit, our Patreon community definitely isn't. And it's part of that community. It just drives me in a way and I enjoy it. And I love the positive feedback and engaging with people. So I want to do it a bit more. And I feel like I'll have a bit more time with this pace of life. So let's see if I can do that as much as possible next season when I win FPL.
All right. Good stuff.
All right.
Well done.
One more thing.
Oh.
So when I'm on the cob, the only thing that drove me to stay alive was sweets.
The only thing that drove you...
You haven't seen
what? The only thing that drove you alive was sweets. He's gone over to the cupboards.
My hoard of sweets that we had in the car.
Yeah, so he's just sharing that for no reason. The thing is, like, you know, when we're leaving, everyone's giving them leaving presents from school and family and whatever. Sweets, chocolates. I could open a sweet shop with how many sweets they've got, honestly. But they're not gonna eat. Go on then, son.
Helps stay alive.
Patrons, I love you. Thank you so much. Stay safe. Tomorrow is Diff Show.
Diff
right?
Show. Yeah.
I've got Sabitzer and About Face and Gahee. I've got three unavailable. How many transfers am I allowed, James? Four.
Three. You can wildcard if you want, if you haven't.
I don't think I will, but we will be talking about it tomorrow. I don't need to. I'm happy to just make the three moves. And it's not three core players. So I don't think I will be, but that's a later problem. Join us for that. Stay safe.
I'll leave you one final thought.
Shout out to Dave in the crowd.
Shout out to Dave in the crowd. England are going to play a back three on Saturday.
Nice.
That's the word. Cue music, please. Match up.
Fantasy Football Show.